Hey guys and gals, welcome to a show called You Speaks Out, show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4, and it is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Tristan Cockrell from Sanhedrin High School,
Nancy Villegas from Willits High School,
and Oralee Clevaugh from the Mendocino County Youth Project.
Today our topic is the Peer Education Summit that was held last month in Willits for the 8th grade students from Bechtel Grove and the Willits Charter School, the middle schools in Willits. This year, the Willits Seroptimus, for the second year, generously donated $2,500 to continue to provide for the Peer Education Summit. The summit was sponsored by AAUW for the past 11 years. Sorry about that. Formerly known, they donated the $2,500 to the Peer Education Summit, which was formerly known as the Sister to Sister Summit. The Sister to Sister Summit was sponsored by AAUW for 11 years before they handed over the project to a good friend of mine, Oralee Clevaugh, from the Mendocino County Youth Project, and Leah Holbrook from the Project Sanctuary. The program has been expanded to include teen boys so the project was renamed the Peer Education Summit.
For the past 3 years, Oralee worked with peer counseling programs at Willits High School to develop a one-day workshop for the incoming freshmen. She met weekly with the peer counselors to develop the content, create lessons plans for small breakout groups, and logistical aspects of setting up the summit for the beginning to end. The advanced peer counseling groups at Oralee hosted three training days in the weeks leading up to the summit. This training helped prepare the high school mentors to facilitate the activities that make up the day. This included learning to conduct lessons in small breakout groups on the following topics: alcohol and other drugs, relationship and self-esteem / body image. This year, the summit included taking the 8th graders on a tour of the high school, an activity where the 8th grade students got to ask questions that they had about the high school. There were also an appreciation activity where students wrote compliments to each other on sheets of paper with each student's name on it. Everyone involved felt that the day was a success this year.
The Peer Education Summit promoted self-esteem, healthy decision-making, and empowerment for the incoming freshmen. We provided positive suggestions and awareness about the high school experience. We covered such topics as body image, peer relationships, substance abuse, bullying, and healthy coping skills. We also gave details about what to expect in the first days and first year of high school. The transition from middle school to high school is often exciting, profound, and confusing. In many cultures and religions, this passage is celebrated with a ritual or initiation, like a confirmation, a bar mitzvah, or a vision quest. This is the time when the child becomes a young adult. The peer education creates an opportunity for 8th graders to establish friends at the high school who will be there next year as advisors and mentors.
The American Association of University Women came up with a program in the 90s to help prepare young women moving from middle schools to high schools. They named it the Sister to Sister. Research had shown that high school girls could help inform and empower 8th graders before they entered high school themselves. A program was created in which each girl learns about her own individual personality as well as developing skills for interacting with and interpreting with the people in the world around her. The goal is to help girls make healthy life choices for their minds and bodies and develop leadership skills. By the end of the program, girls often have a new vision of what is possible for themselves. For the past 2 years, all young people entering high school have been included in the program. The summit was held at the City Hall for the boys this year and the Willits Center of the Arts for the girls. The girls' activities were mentored by female peer counselors, and the boys' activities were mentored by male peer counselors.
There is an abundance of rumors in the 8th grade about life in high school. There are stories about parties, dating, and being respected as a young adult. In our small communities, most adults move with the same peers for the grammar school to middle school to high school. After spending a year being top dogs of the middle school, the shift to being lowly freshmen is usually a shock. The students are on the lowest run in the new school, surrounded by older people they do not know, and being pressured to do things they're often unprepared to deal with. Teenage girls are flooded with images of how they're supposed to look. This frequently leads to eating disorders and poor diets. There's a powerful urge to mature as quickly as possible, which can result in early sexual experimentation in a rush to be in a relationship. Girls often experience sexual harassment but do not have the language or skills to stop it.
Teenage boys are expected to be tough and to man up and to not express emotions unless they are being macho. There is an urge to prove fearlessness and daring, which can lead to injury and other problems. The use of alcohol and other drugs is frequently taken as a sign of being a grown-up. And freshmen at high school are frequently being bullied. Bullying, either by exclusion or public humiliation, is common among teenagers, amongst both males and females. And in this youth culture, which emphasizes texting and social media, cyberbullying has become prevalent and very damaging to more than a few young people.
Based on the rumors most 8th graders hear about life in high school, it is possible to get the impression that most high school students are in relationships, sexually active, and use alcohol and other substances. Some 8th graders are excited about these stories, and some frightened. Many expect that sex and drugs will be the norm when they reach high school, even though research shows that this is a false impression. As we covered in a prior Youth Speaks Out program on social norms, the 8th graders are presented with actual survey results, which show that drug use and sexual activity are much lower than the rumors. Television, social media, and movies are responsible for creating an exaggerating image of the risks that the average young person engages in. The middle school years are challenging and emotional, filled with drama and changing friends. Many teenagers feel the need to talk to someone, but are too scared of being judged or treated differently if they confide in their peers or teachers. At the Peer Summit, they can talk and share their stories with other youth without fears of being criticized or being made fun of. At the beginning of the school in the fall, new freshmen can touch base with the high school friends they made at the summit, the peer counselors and peer educators. This provides a connection to an older friend, which most freshmen are grateful to have and don't have in many other schools. So we will talk about the Peer Education Summit program for about 30 minutes, then we'll open up the phone lines for your ideas, experiences, and maybe even your insights. We are in the Willits studio, and our phone number will be 707-456-9991. Again, that's 707-456-9991. Let's begin by discussing this year's Peer Summit. Let's start by each describing a peak moment we've experienced at the summit.
So, I believe, for me, a peak moment that happened in the summit was when I started talking about the girls about party tips and things like drugs and alcohol, basically. We were starting to talk about them, like, telling them, well, we had personal stories of, like, brothers or sisters or family members or friends that we knew who actually passed away because everyone thought it was funny. They were lying on their backs, like, puking and stuff, when in reality they were actually dying because no one really knew how to roll them over onto their sides and keeping them from choking on their own, you know, puke. And we just shared stories, and, like, we got kind of serious when, at first it was silly because they're like, oh, yeah, drugs and alcohol, ha, ha, ha. This and that, because it's like a time where people are just so used to the mentioning of drugs and alcohol. It's not like, oh, what is this? Like, no, it's something like of a norm, sort of, but it's not. And I don't know, the girls really seemed interesting in my point of view. They all seemed very interactive, and they just seemed kind of amazed that people have actually died by that and about the things they could actually help do to prevent deaths.
Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Definitely say there's so many moments that were eventful and important. It's kind of hard to give a peak moment, but I'd say one of the peak spans of time would be the peak events that we had was, or activities, was the fishbowl. And the fishbowl is where we get in a group. Originally, it was where the peer educators, the boys and the girls, sat in the middle. And the students, the 8th graders coming into the high school, created a fishbowl, you know, metaphorical fishbowl around them, and they circled us, and we talked kind of in between each other. This year was definitely different. The girls had their own approach on it, but the boys, in my experience, we interacted with the fishbowl this year, and we sat up on a stage, and kind of we answered questions that they had for us, and we threw a bit of our own in there, but it was definitely different because we talked to the fishbowl this time. We talked to the students going to the high school and we interacted with them. And that really created a feeling of, it created some enthusiasm and some feeling of importance and involvement with them. So that really helped them out, I think. And it helped us out on knowing what to talk about. Because, you know, we have the outline of questions to talk about and or to answer. But kind of getting some added questions by them was like really, that really helped out us and them, I think, on gaining, building a relationship between us and them. And one of the questions that we asked, that they asked, I should say, that we answered, was what's the most important thing in high school? And I kind of just let them know, you know, like, that, you know, don't be selfish or don't, you know, don't be afraid to lend a helping hand or receive a helping hand, but that the most important part of high school is you. As a good friend of mine, Forrest, was saying, life is 20% of what happens to us and 80% how we react to it. And I think in high school, that becomes a big part of, that becomes very true. Because you start to learn that you can't control people around you and how people act around you. And you can't control, you know, your teacher's mindset and your friend's mindset and another student's mindset. So I kind of just let them know that, you know, the hardest and the easiest part is the most important part. And it's you. It's how you react to things. You know, high school is what you make. They wanted to know what's the hardest point about high school and what's the easiest thing about high school. And, you know, it's all the same. And what's the most important part about high school, I also answered, was the was your diploma. You know, let them know that getting your diploma is going to play a big part once you want to be doing something with your life. You know, it's like, you know, we all want to be successful. So kind of let them know that the funnest part is getting your diploma and, you know, working, having a goal to work towards. And it's the hardest part. So, like, as you know, at the beginning how I said that the most important part is you, it kind of ties in. It all ties in. It's how you act, you know. It's whether or not you put forth that effort to get your work done so you can have fun. Because no one likes the feeling of, you know, having fun on the weekend, but knowing you got stuff at home to do. So kind of just let them know that the most important part was you. And I think that we built a strong connection. Because then they started to feel that sense of importance of in their individual selves, you know. And that's when they started asking questions for themselves and not asking questions to fit in and not asking questions because they think that it makes someone else laugh or something, or, you know, so-and-so wants to know. That's when they started realizing, oh, I need to learn, you know, I need to do this for myself. This is for myself, you know, don't be selfish, but it's for myself. And that's when we gained a really big sense of relationship, and like we kind of built some chemistry there. It just went on from there, and it was great, honestly. It was awesome.
Awesome. Thanks, Tristan. I've been putting on events like this Peer Education Summit for numerous years now, and for me, I have to be honest, wrangling a bunch of teenagers to get them to do this can be a lot of work sometimes, but the beauty for me comes in the middle of the day when I'm looking around and I'm seeing all these high schoolers take on the role of leadership, of mentor, of being able to turn around the lessons and experiences they've just had and help somebody a little bit along the way. I think, unfortunately, in my experience, it's becoming less and less cool to be helpful, especially amongst young people. And for me, this event is always one of those really refreshing moments. Oh yeah, it's still cool. It's still, you know, we can still keep the spark alive there. And I'd love it. I mean, there's just so many moments where, like, I'm looking around and there's one teenager on the mic just saying something. And I'm like, they actually listen to me. They actually listen to their teachers. Like, they're paying attention. This is great. So it's worth all the extra effort to get those teenagers to a place where they're ready to be speaking with the younger people about these important topics. So thank you guys for being there on that day. So we're going to talk a little bit about maybe how the process it takes to get the summit going. I know, Nancy, you've been involved in quite a bit. We have our two different classes at the Willits High School. There's the first-year peer counselors that were primarily involved with actually being facilitators of the day. And then we have our second- and third-year peer counselors that meet on a weekly basis. And we really are the core producers that put together the content, the lesson plans, what activities we're actually going to do. How is that, Nancy? What do you think? Is it, how, you know, do you feel, like, what's the process with that for yourself?
Well, the process of anything really is just like communication. And with us, we start communicating with the second years, and then we take our ideas to the first years, who give us, like, in return, more ideas. especially like our specialty that I think is like bake sales. We definitely do a lot of that, and I think it's become a norm for us, so it's a lot easier. But things like making new things, such as like the haunted house that we did for last Halloween, was kind of difficult because it was first time and we didn't have a lot of money. And I don't know, it's just definitely like a lot of communication, a lot of like hands-on activities, because we don't communicate with the first years as much as we'd like to, which is, it's sad, but we try to as much because some of them start to not really get into it. But once we're there, they really get into it. They get like their gears on and stuff, and they want to help. And like this event, the summit, really like sparked their interest in all and like helping, because that's the main thing of peer counseling. They wanted to help, and that's what they got to do here. They got to help the eighth graders, incoming freshmen, and they got to see like, wow, this was us like not too long ago. And it's definitely different, because for me it was definitely different, but it's interesting to see them grow like that.
So you're saying, because there's quite a few different events that you activities that you guys as the peer counselors are really trying to do. So there's the haunted houses, there's a couple of the different events, and then you guys do mentoring at Bechtel Grove and at Brookside or Blosser.
Blosser.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those are those real-time opportunities when you're getting mentor opportunities. But this summit, you also feel, is one of those places where the high schoolers or the peer counselors are really feeling like they're getting to put their skills to use. Is that?
Yeah, definitely. Because here they got to not just like communicate to them, but they got to share their own stories, and they got to like know the eighth graders, like, oh wow, like we can like hang out, like if you need anything, you like you can call me or you can come to me. And it's different because the younger kids, like in Blosser, it's just like, oh, come play with me, like let's go on the swings, and you're just like, oh, you have too much energy, can you calm down? But here it's like we're kind of in the same level, like we understand, you're kind of scared, you kind of feel like nervous to go there to the high school, because you have this whole image that the high school is this big huge monster house thing, but it's not. It's different here because it's a small community, so the people here, we don't have, as we call, cliques. We actually work together and like help each other. Like I haven't seen any fights here, and that's definitely what we wanted to tell like the incoming freshmen. Like we don't do much bullying here, and there is, we like help each other and we try to communicate out and, you know, try to stop the problem, and that's very important.
Awesome, thank you. So, we put on quite a bit of it's quite a bit of time to put on an event like this, and I really appreciate the high schoolers putting the time and effort it takes to get all these details together. And so we put on the actual day. Would you be willing to describe maybe the first set of activities that we were doing when we put on the actual summit?
Well, we just like the first thing that we did was we talked about alcohol and other drugs, peer relationships, self-esteem, and body image, the fishbowl, and we did the freshman orientation where we just took him to the high school and we gave him the tour, and, you know, it was just showing them around, showing them like, hey, see, it's not that big. It's actually pretty small. You're okay.
So would you be willing to talk a little tiny bit more about what the content was inside of each of those subject areas? So there was alcohol and other drugs. Maybe, Tristan, you'd be willing to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Alcohol and other drugs, I think that was a really important workshop for them, because we had all the different ones, you know, peer relationships, self-esteem and body image, and alcohol and other drugs. And the students rotated in between each workshop. We had a system set up for, you know, in the way that it was moving. And alcohol and other drugs was really effective, I feel, this year compared to my past experience. This year, definitely, I felt a strong connection, and like we were leaving a mark, a positive mark on the kids this year. We talked about, you know, party. We gave them party tips, and we talked about, you know, we did this activity called Stand the Line, where we wanted to gain a knowledge of understanding, you know, of their understanding, and they could learn from our level of understanding. So we kind of went back and forth on that, and I liked to get them. I noticed when just doing the Stand the Line activity, they were involved, but not as involved as I wanted them. So I kind of just I got alive with it. I got jumpy and would ask them individual questions. I started asking extra questions than what was just on the outline, you know? And it was really cool getting to see the diverse levels of understanding and not like anyone was smarter than the other, but just in their own experience, you know, one person had a really good view on this point, on point A, and another person had a really good view on point B, you know, whether that, and alcohol and other drugs, that would have been, you know, it's stuff in everything from, is marijuana addictive to, do you think that partying affects your parents, you know, and stuff like that. So we got to ask them some really important and effective questions. And seeing in the lines of kids, we had, I think, what do we have, like three to four groups come to each one of our workshops. Mm-hmm. And everyone was different, I got to say. Everyone was like, you think after the first one, you know what to expect. And no, was I wrong on that? Like, was I wrong? It was really good, though. We got to build our relationships with the workshops really good before we moved on to the next activities.
Will you talk a little bit more about one of the things we were talking about right before the show was about the internal peer pressure piece that you were talking about and how you emphasized that piece? Would you speak more to that?
I definitely emphasize, because we brought up peer pressure and the drugs and alcohol. I brought up how, because with me, I never really gave in to peer pressure, but Orly brought up when we were rehearsing the event about internal peer pressure, internal pressure from yourself, and it kind of made me think, like, wow, we do pressure ourselves into doing things we don't want to, you know, we don't always do stuff because someone's like, hey, dude, do this, you know, we do it because, you know, so-and-so's doing it, so-and-so's doing it, for me, in my experience, it was like, oh, I've been around this for, you know, 14 years. Why not do it now, you know? Something like that. And I realized that we definitely do things from inside to peer pressure ourselves. So I kind of expressed that to him a lot and wanted to let him know, you know, it's cool. If you're worried about looking cool, it's even cooler to be able to say no. And it's even cooler to be able to speak for yourself. You know, one of the things at the art show that's going on right now, someone painted a piece or did it with Sharpie, and it says, don't let others influence your thoughts. And I thought that. I was like, man, I want to take a picture of that one and put it up on my wall or something. Like, cause I thought that was really important. So sometimes you got to let not, you know, pleasing others influence your thoughts too, you know, to fit in. And I really emphasized on that one.
Awesome. And I just wanted to clarify one thing, because you said we talked about safety or party tips, and I just want to clarify that we're not encouraging partying, but we're saying if you're going to choose to party, these are wise ways and ways of curving the likelihood that you're going to have a bad experience. Just for those listeners out there that might be worried that I'm promoting partying, I just have to clarify. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, we definitely, on the partying thing, the party tips, I feel like were definitely helpful, because the party tips that we were giving out were kind of party tips that I got at a later age. And we help them, you know, don't leave your drink out, and don't, if you, you know, I definitely emphasized a lot, we don't want you partying. Like, I gave them my experiences. Look, luckily I'm sober now, and I was partying a lot. I was a big partier, and I let them know, you know, that luckily you guys have us, and we learned late in our experiences, you know, we got tips about partying as we went. So I feel like we had some really, Orly, props to Orly, she came up with some great points and tips to, you know, not leave your drink out and don't drink from public punch bowls and, you know, make sure you have a sober driver, party with someone sober, and one of the things is party with people you trust and make sure it's a safe place. And what I emphasized on that myself was, you know, be careful who you trust, you know, because some statistics show some things is like, man, people you trust can really do some crazy things. So I really emphasized on be careful who you trust. And when you try and decide, you know, party with people you trust.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, the tips were definitely good. I tried to let them know as much as I could. I was like, dude, I do not want to see you at a party or anything. But if you guys do, I know kids will be kids.
Yeah.
So we definitely, I think that helped out a lot.
Awesome. Thank you, Tristan. So Nancy, would you be willing to talk a little bit about our peer relationship lesson plan?
The peer relationships, basically, like, at first what I thought when I heard, like, peer relationships, like, oh, is this, like, boyfriend-girlfriend thing? But no, it's more like of a whole thing, like, with your teachers, with, like, your classmates, but even with your parents, like, even with yourself as well, because We talked about how to make make and keep friends, because it's very difficult to make true friends. You can make friends all around, but they don't stick with you completely. But we just gave him, like, oh, like, make sure, like, you know, you trust him. Like, in how Tristan said, it's kind of difficult to do that, because sometimes they're like, oh, yeah, I can trust you. But no. But we talked more about, like, relationships, of, like, how you shouldn't judge, and, like, you shouldn't let yourself be judged either. Because in the peer relationships, is like, you need to respect others the way you want to be respected, because I, for myself, I don't consider myself, like, a very popular person, but I'm a helpful person, and I, like, always say hi to everyone. And I'm known for, like, oh, just, like, oh, like, there's this Nancy, she's always, like, saying hi to everyone. And so that's something that you should, like, try to do, because, I don't know, you don't have to act cool, like, oh, look, I got these new, like, shoes, like, am I cool now, and stuff, like, you need to just be yourself, and we just try to encourage them, do not be afraid of being yourself in there, and, yeah, and, yeah, definitely, and it's not, we emphasize to them, peer relationships definitely not all about just, like, your love life, no, it's, like, you can be a girl and have, like, guy friends, and you can be a guy with a bunch of girlfriends, like, girlfriends, but, because before it was, like, a time where, like, girls and guys were kind of separate, but nowadays it's more like, hey, we can hang out, and, like, it won't be totally awkward, and you shouldn't be awkward, because they're people, and it's nothing different, too different, but, you know, it's just about, like, not judging and stuff. We were doing examples, like, you need to, like, how to make friends and keep them. It's, like, to be consistent and reliable. And you call them when you say you're going to call, and you don't judge them, you don't text while they're talking to you, because there's a strong bond right there to make communication, like eye contact and, like, body language. It's like, you need to be sitting upright and, like, actually feel interested. It's kind of like when you're talking to your teacher, you're not just going to be like, okay, thanks for that information that I'm probably not going to use. But for the teachers, it's definitely, because in high school, you need to be friends with your teachers, believe it or not, because there's some students who, what's it called, who actually have the teacher's numbers, and they're like, oh, I need some help and stuff, but, you know. Anyways.
Awesome, thank you. So the last subject area that we covered was self-esteem and body image, and the content was really about looking at what are the factors that affect self-esteem, and I think a big part of what was emphasized is how much social media and some of the different, there's a standalone activity, which Tristan was talking about earlier, is one of my favorite activities. And I can do it with whatever subject area you want, but it's essentially coming up with very short statements about a particular topic. Self-esteem and body image, one of the talking points was the specific statistic on how tall the average man is compared to what the model of, you know, sizes are, as far as, like, what the average model looks like compared to the average normal human, or the average woman is compared to the average model, and talking a lot about the disconnect between what we're seeing in social media and Photoshop and whatnot, and how much that's affecting young people. And I don't, you know, if you guys are seeing that, I'm seeing that all the time, the unrealistic projection of what we're supposed
what
to,
we're
look,
supposed
like,
to look like,
and how much that is damaging. It really, I mean, and you'll ask people and they'll say, oh, it doesn't affect me. I know it's Photoshop, but I've become convinced over the years that it's subtle and it's under the surface, and you don't really realize how much it is. So a big part of what they talked about in that subject area was that focus, and then strategies on how to develop your own self-esteem and activities to get involved with and whatnot. So I kind of overheard some of the discussions that were happening during that lesson plan, and was really pleased with what I was hearing the young ladies come up with. So the subject areas were really, I really, really appreciated those, and think it's important, like Tristan said, all the students were able to rotate through all three subject areas, which is very, very important for them to be getting all around, wrapped around the same information. So our next activity was the fishbowl activity, and you guys, we've talked a little bit about that already, but maybe we could read off just a couple of the very specific questions that we actually had answered during that fishbowl activity, and then maybe we could just describe one more time what that fishbowl, how that fishbowl activity works? Are you guys, one of you feel comfortable in describing that? Or?
Yeah. Like I said before, the fishbowl activity that we had, that was an activity where usually the kids would speak up. They would circle around us, and we would, us, the peer educators and peer counselors, would sit in the center and have a discussion with ourselves about high school and answer the questions, and they would just listen. They would be like the glass to the fishbowl, and we would be the fish. And this year we kind of did it a little bit different, us, the guys. We kind of interacted with the glass. We sat up on a stage, and we had discussion with the students, and we kind of got them more involved in the fish. It was like we were just like one large aquarium, you could say. Like, it's like the building was the fish tank, and we were all the fish this year. We kind of all definitely interacted. But some of the questions that they written down questions, and then we'd answer them and threw a few of our own in there and just kind of went from there. But a few of the questions that they had asked was, is it a hard transition from middle school to high school, and what's different about middle school to high school? And we kind of just let them know, you know, it's not like like Nancy was saying, how when you think high school, you're like, oh no, it's this big scary monster house, you know, like what am I gonna do? Like, you feel so small. Look, you just, it's like looking up at a, like the Empire State Building almost, you know, what you imagine. But let them, you know, it's what you make it is kind of what I let them know. You know, don't be scared. It's just, everyone's cool. Everyone's really relatable. It's easy to get along with the people at this, in this town, with the people at the high school especially. And, you know, the only thing different about middle school to high school really is, you know, just that now you're not the top dogs anymore. Now, you know, you're freshmen, but I mean, it's really not much different. It's just, you just keep working. And they asked, is there a lot of fights, bullies, and drama? And it was the same thing, you know, I just, don't take your anger out on other people, and, you know, if you want to be accepted, other people want to be accepted, we're all human, you know, and just kind of let them know, you know, there's not, I mean, in this town, especially at this high school, there's not many fights, there's not much bullying, there's not much drama. I mean, drama happens anywhere. That's given. So
I liked one of the answers I heard one of the ladies saying during that question was, well, there's only drama if you're drama. And I was like, that's kind of true. I was like, you know, it's like your drama follows you around. Wherever you go, there you are. And that was to me one of those honest, real answers. I was like, good. Those people who are dramatic should hear that answer.
Yeah. When I answered that question, what stuff got crazy in the girls' area? Dang, that one got crazy.
Yeah, it's true.
One of the other questions they asked us was, do you need drugs to be cool?
Oh.
That one was emphasized on a lot. Like, at the boys area, that's like when we got interactive another time. We got interactive with the fishbowl, with the student body around us. We were like, no. Like, I was like, hold on, one time, I'm going to read this question out, and then you guys are going to answer for me what you think. It's like, I don't even want to have to answer this one. I'm just going to hope you guys can answer it. And and I asked, I was like, all right, on three, when I'm done, I'm going to read it. When I'm done, you guys answer. I was like, do you need drugs to be cool? And they all, dude, I'm so glad it was what I was hoping for. They all stood up and like, no, just this big unanimous yelling of just no throughout the city hall. I was like, yes, like that's what I wanted to hear. So that one was definitely awesome. And then,
And the other one was like, is it important to be in a relationship?
Yeah.
And that falls into the peer relationship things. And we're like, no, once again, no. Because, like, it depends. Because you could be a great person and, like, all these people, like, try to, you know, be your friend. Or you could not be, like, the most popular person. But if you're kind and stuff, you're cool and stuff. I don't know. But definitely it's not something to be, you know, to be in a relationship.
Yeah, we kind of let them know, like, and kids are going to be in relationships, you know, when they're in high school. Kids are going to be kids. They're going to want to feel more adult. They're going to do a lot of things, you know. And I kind of let them know, you know, like, a relationship isn't important. You know, we emphasize on that it's not important to have. And then another one of the students brought up the fact that, well, you know, for some people, it is important. It all depends on your individual self. And for some people, they do feel a sense of importance in their heart to have someone else, you know, to have someone else, a person, a boyfriend or girlfriend, or even a good friend. Like, but a relationship was important to some people. And that's when I kind of realized, I was like, you know, some people are more worried about a relationship. And when he brought that up, and that's when we kind of all were like, oh, okay, yeah, no, that's true. So we emphasized on the fact that, you know, if you feel it's important to have a relationship, then you, if you are going to have one, at least make sure that you can handle yourself first. That's when I came to, you know, the most important part about high school is you. That's when I kind of emphasized on that again, mm-hmm. and was, you know, let them know, like, well, if your boyfriend or your girlfriend's got you ditching class to hang out or something, or doing this, you know, skip class and let's go do, you know, go hang out outside behind the gym or something, you know, you make sure that you guys, excuse me, make sure that you guys can both handle yourselves and you're doing, you know, you're getting your work done and your grades are going up. It's like, if you notice your grades are starting to go down or something because you got, you're in a relationship, you're spending most of your time with your girly friend or your boyfriend, you know, then you should probably, you know, let them know, like, hey, man, I got to focus on school. There's these things we got to focus on. And don't be afraid to do that. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to break it off nicely and be like, hey, man, sorry, I got all this stuff to focus on because we're in high school. High school is high school. And we all, if they don't understand that at first, they'll understand, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think it goes back to the social norms idea, which is, again, and you guys have already been speaking to it, which is that it's fine if somebody personally wants to be in a relationship, but it's, for me, part of what I want to address with this is that you don't feel like you have to be in a relationship in order to be a cool teenager.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that it is a personal choice, and that I don't, and the same things going back to drugs, like you were saying, like, I didn't need, and I was the same thing when I was a teenager, I didn't need anybody to peer pressure me. It was all my own peer pressure.
Yeah, it was all
and,
you know, me.
So, and one of the things that I really like about this activity is that we go over to the Bechtel Grove the month before and get the questions from them, which I think is part of why I see the most engagement from the eighth graders over the day, I think, during this activity, because it's coming from them. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those great activities, and we then do a nice little activity with we stick the every student's name at the top of a piece of paper. And then people run around giving compliments and nice wishes to each other, which always is a good way, feel good way to end the day. And then we walked back over to the high school and did campus tours. And again, they had questions they had asked when we had gone over there that we specifically got to answer during the tour of the day. And then that's the actual content of the day. And so I just wanted to go back and ask you guys just a couple questions, just kind of maybe on a reflective piece, which is, I don't know, maybe Nancy, how do you think that things have changed since you were in the eighth grade? Do you have any ideas? I know, because right now you're, what grade are you in?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior.
Yeah.
So it's been three years, right? Mm-hmm. How, I mean, it's a little bit of time, and then it's still enough time to see something, right? So what do you guys think about that? Either you can answer, but.
I don't know. It's because it's such a small gap, but so much has happened. Like, technology has advanced, and, like, people, like, younger kids are so much, like, I don't know, like, they're more, what's it called? They're just out there more, like, they experience
involved.
Things. Yeah, they're more involved in other things, like, whether it's positive or negative, and they're more, like, I don't know, they just know so much more. Like, I have, like, a younger cousin who's also just barely, like, in middle school, and she tells me all these things, like, about drugs and alcohol. I'm like, I didn't even know that when I was there until, like, Orly came in and told us about this. It's like, how do you know about this? Oh, like, a friend told me, like, oh my gosh, it's very different because there's, like, some freshmen, like, you see them, and, like, maybe it's because, like, since middle school, they have this whole thing, like, oh, you have to fit in to be popular, doing drugs, or, like, using specific kind of clothing, and you still see them, and they're kind of, like, I don't know, not bad, it's just their attitude is very negative, and it shouldn't be that way, and I don't know, I like to think that I'm, like, pretty positive, but not really, because I want to see, like, the eighth graders coming in and having fun and, you know, being themselves, like, just like how I did, because, like, when I went to my own, like, summit in eighth grade, I felt, like, a sensation of, like, trust, and, like, I definitely have someone to trust, you know, and I'm glad that that's what happened here, too. Like, they feel, like, definitely, like, they got a connection with us, but things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I think since eighth grade, see, the mainstream media influence a lot. Like, you know, it's always, you know, mainstream media is always, you know, projected high school in an outlandish way that's, you know, in a sense, not always completely true, you know, a lot of the time not true at all. And that even kind of pertains to one of the questions they asked us in the fishbowl, like, are we going to get stuffed in our lockers? And are we going to get trash can? I was like, you know, me personally, like, I got trash can. I'm not ashamed to say I got trash can once in high school, and that was my freshman year. But it's like, I don't think that's going to happen to you guys. And if you look at the size of our lockers at Willits High School, you'll have fun fitting your books in there, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, but a lot, though, mainstream media has definitely changed, and new drugs have been introduced, and There's a new style. There's all kinds of. I mean, so much has changed in 4 years. That's, you know, a lot of it's getting at the same point. Mainstream music, for example, like hip hop music. A lot of the youth listen to hip hop music and listen to mainstream rap, and it's taken such a drastic change. And it's always been, you know, a lot of it glorifies doing drugs and doing all and partying and doing all these things that, you know, aren't necessary. They're not healthy use of time. That's why I like to promote healthy use of time to the kids. But I think the way that, like I said, I mean, now there's all these new drugs in mainstream media that they promote, and they promote high school being so crazy. And I think from then, when I was in high school or when I was in eighth grade to now, eighth graders, I think they definitely have a different experience than I did. I've noticed a lot of a different experience that talking to them. I mean, every single person has their own individual experience, you know. Yeah. But man, there's a lot of it's the same, you know, and curiosity, and you want to know how stuff is, and you want to fit in. So I think personally, themselves, they're the same, because we're, you know, at that age, the same eighth grade. When I was in eighth grade, I wanted to do the same thing. I wanted to fit in, be cool, and I was, you know, worried about all the wrong things, you know. But I think the actual acts of fitting in, you know, quote unquote fitting in, is different now. Mm-hmm. What you do to fit in and the things to do to fit in are a lot different now.
Mm-hmm. And I think the only other thing that I really want to mention that you guys haven't mentioned, in my observation, obviously I'm not a young person anymore. Well, I mean, I still feel like I am, but and I'm kind of only 33, but anyways, is the online dating world. I feel like I'm getting a lot of insights and hearing about that, and when it's like, that's part of what we're talking about with pure relationships. Gosh. And then the online dating introduces this whole other world of that you're not able to know the person, and just the anonymity and all that kind of stuff around that is scary to me, because it's already hard enough when you are meeting somebody to be able to figure out whether they're shady or not. But then you have all of the filters in between the computer and the online, all the system. So to me, I think that that's one of the big things that us as adults really have. We are clueless, really, when it comes down to that whole reality. Unless, I mean, there are some adults that are kind of in that world now, but not that much, right?
Yeah. What would you say? Like, I've noticed a big change too, Nancy, between when we were in eighth grade to now. I think what she brought up kind of really fits in a lot to the question we were just talking about. Like the change in Facebook, itself. Talk about social media, like social media. When we were like, it was like, I don't know, I wasn't as worried about social media as I feel in eighth grade as kids are now.
Yeah, like, there's, I totally understand.
It's it's like a whole nother world on the internet.
Yeah, yeah. Especially like how, like, that's the one show, it's called like Catfish. It's like, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, what's going on? Before, it's just like, oh, look, bought a new skateboard. Oh, look, I got a drink or something. But now it's like, they need to constantly be online. Like, it's become a problem even at school. Like, where even the teachers, some of the teachers are like, okay, 5 minute break, use your phones. And they're like, okay, let me click Facebook, all this, Instagram. And they're like, what?
I don't want to judge anyone or judge their heart, but like, just the need, like the sense of need for Facebook has really grown, I feel like, in younger people now, definitely. With the online dating, when you brought up that, I feel like that definitely pertains to Facebook. It's like, it's not an online dating website, you know, it's just a social media website, but people really use it for online dating. People just have, they have 1,000 friends they don't know. And even me, I had to go through and clean out my Facebook recently. I was like, oh my gosh, like, how many people on here did I just friend request or accept their friend request? And it's, Facebook is, I definitely, like, I'm going to monitor my kid's Facebook when he or she gets a Facebook. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So I'm loving this discussion. I think we want to make a time so where we're going to be inviting people to call in, and then we can keep our discussion going here. So Nancy, maybe you can open up our part where we're inviting people.
Yeah, we're going to open the phone lines now. So the phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth in the listening audience. Please call in if you have any questions or insight about the Peer Summit program or about the passage of teenagers into young adults. So, what are the challenges you see for youth in our society? How is growing up different for girls and boys?
What do you remember about moving from middle school to high school? What shaped your outlook on life at that time?
Do you think that growing up is more difficult now than when you were in school? And in what ways? What advice would you give to the youth entering high school now?
We would like to hear your opinions on all the topics we've discussed. Do you think that programs like Peer Summit should be encouraged? The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll have a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion on the transition from middle school to high school. We'd really like to hear from you.
Awesome.
Caller, you're on the air.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, could you go on to something else, like the political structure, what's going on with that, with the candidates, with Trump, with Hillary, with Bernie, yay, Bernie, and...
Oh, you want a youth's opinion on that?
Yeah, let's get off of this drugs and alcohol and peer pressure and all that. That was very good, though. Excellent.
Thank you.
Let's move on.
Okay. Well, I'd just like to say that we're going to do a show about elections really soon, and if it's okay with you, and it has to be, we're going to continue talking about this, and we will definitely do a show about politics, about the upcoming elections. I wanted to do one recently, but it's going to happen in the next couple of months. I have a question. I was just recently teaching, and I noticed the texting thing. You know, you talk about Facebook. That's one thing. But the texting thing is an ongoing thing. And it's like 3 years ago, the teachers were really tight about you couldn't text in class.
Yeah.
And they've pretty much given up now. Because people sit there and they hold it in their lap. And they, you know, it's like blind. You don't have to look at the thing to send a message. And it's happening all the time. And I'm just wondering, you know, I read these science fiction books 40, 50 years ago. And I wonder, do you think that's kind of strange that there's this world that's happening between bodies and stuff, but there's also this cyber world that's happening with texting that's like...
I definitely agree with you. I remember doing that, actually. I mean, the teacher's up there talking, like, freshman, sophomore year. I'm sitting there, I'm holding my phone in my lap, acting like I'm looking at my book, or, like, trying to, like, look down every once in a while. I'm, like, inching over, barely trying to text, you know, making sure no one sees. And I was, like, trying to be invisible. It's like I was spray-painted neon orange in the middle of a field, you know. But I stopped doing that recently. And even just yesterday, it was kind of crazy, because that's, like, that's the main view, like, in generation gaps, you know, now all of us youth are like, we're always on our phones. And I'd say it's definitely majority, but it's definitely not the general. Yeah. Like, you can't generalize anything, because, like, yesterday, actually, I was at the city hall, and me and my friend Forrest, we walked through the city hall, and we just had this feeling to go and kind of just talk to people and just go see what was going on. And the city hall, you know, usually isn't open, that one door right there by the restrooms. And friend had to go to the bathroom. He's like, all right, you can use the restroom. I'm going to go see what's going on at the city hall because the door's open. And we go and we're talking to people and we're discussing. And I'm like, I'm passing out some books to people and some pamphlets to people, you know, about like the upper room, some religious or, you know, you call religious, but some quote unquote religious books, you know, more books about believers and just books with scripture in them, daily bread, stuff like that, passing them out. And I'm sitting there reading my book, you know, about hour and a half into just hanging out with everyone that was at the memorial. And one of the guys pointed out, he was on his big old Harley motorcycle, and he turns around and he says, hold on. And he stops his friend. And he says, look at this. And the two elder, they had to be 50 or over, you know, and they're sitting there. Both of them are sitting there on their phone. And their elder friend is doing the same thing, taking a picture of them on their phone. You know, and they're like trying to get their friend's attention. They're like, hey, you know, like, get off your phones, dang it. Like, I'm taking a picture of you guys. And they're like, oh, and then they put Facebook away and all that. And I'm sitting there reading my book, you know, and I'm sitting there going through pages and just reading a book. And he comes over and he points it out. He's like, hold on, what's going on? He's like, what's this whole generation gap stuff I'm hearing about? It's like, this is like reverse generation gap right here. So it was pretty funny. But, yeah, no, I definitely remember doing that. I think... it's definitely better. If there's any youth out there, just pay attention to your teachers, man.
Oh, yeah.
It gets you farther. I learned that out of experience. Just put your phone aside for the few hours that you're actually in class.
Yeah, they know all the tricks by now.
Yeah, they learned our tricks, man. They know we're not looking at our book if they see us smiling at our lap.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting point that you're bringing up, Tristan, which is that it's not just young people that are really absorbed. And one of my friends calls it face crack. I have to say, it really lends itself to kind of some stalker behaviors in young people, which I find is slightly disturbing. It was like a lot harder to find out like who your ex was dating back in the day, I have to tell you. From my observation, it feels like people are, you know, in one way almost become almost desensitized and learn, like, have less of an ability to pick up on body language and subtleties because the technology that we're using doesn't require us to develop those kinds of sensitivities. Do you guys feel like you experience some of that as well? Or as far as like maybe one of those differences again between even with where you guys are at as senior and junior versus the current eighth graders, is that?
I've noticed it in myself. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had to break myself of that habit. I was like, whoa, what am I doing? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the body language thing, like, I used to be really good at reading people's body language, and I was really on that. I was really, and I still consider myself, all right. I mean, but the moral of what I'm saying is that I feel like I really lost a sense that for a second there when I was really on Facebook a lot. I had a good few month period, like about a year ago, where I was like on Facebook all the time, 24/7. It seemed like I was always checking it or something and always trying to post something. And it was like I lost that sense of like being able to actually interact with real people. And I was like, I interacted with real people all the time, but I was just using my phone so much. It was like I forgot how to read people's body language, and it's like, and I was just misreading. Because when you're doing that on Facebook or something, when you're messaging someone or texting someone, it's like you kind of have to create your own projection of how they say things, you know, unless you really know the person. And even then, you can misinterpret someone. It's funny. It's pretty ironic. I saw it on Facebook, but caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, going very well. I was calling to talk a bit about transition from junior high to high school.
Oh,
nice.
That was a subject.
Yeah.
And I had a son, actually three children. Two went to Pomalita at the time. Pomalita had an established honors program.
Okay.
And that was a reason to go out of our area from Redwood Valley to go to the honors programs that were available there. My younger son was able to participate in the honors programs but chose Eagle Peak because he had friends heading there, and he was making a social choice to stay with his friends, and that was important to him.
Understandable.
But as high school, As he furthered himself in high school, he entered with a bunch of friends that he had participated in the Lions football with and hung with them a bit. But as high school continued and he pursued his own interests, he decided to follow the academic direction and found himself back with a lot of those same kids he might have known in Pomalita and some of the same friends that he spent time with at Eagle Peak. But in the end, he found that following his gifts and what was going to be important for his future was far more important than following where friends were going, and that in the end, like minds would find each other again.
Yeah.
And so that was a really good lesson for him with deciding between schools and the direction he'd like to take his life. For some kids, where they're going academically is really important in their minds, and then others have the social concern back and forth. And myself as a parent, I could have said, well, you're going to go where we stay. You're going to go where we're driving. We don't need to be taking to two different schools in the morning or any of those things. But we wanted him to be comfortable because in the end, he would do best where he was comfortable. So we let him go wherever he decided was where he would do best, and in the end, letting go, now he's stronger himself letting go as parents.
Yeah.
He's stronger himself in making decisions now as a graduating student.
Making conscious decisions.
Also he's graduating almost with an AA now because he went on by choice to go to the college part of the time.
Okay.
And so going back and forth between groups and feeling comfortable depending upon whatever age you're with or whatever social group you're with, he grew as a person to know himself better, I felt.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that story. I think it's important for people, both the young people listening, to kind of weighing out those differences between the social and academic. And then I also think it's important for parents to hear you trusting your child enough to make that decision on their own. It can be easy to want to control or to push somebody into a specific place. But I would venture to guess, based on years of working with young people, that it was you empowering him to make his own decision that in the long run allowed him to be more successful when he came back around to his academic focus. So thank you for sharing that story.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
What were we covering? Oh, yeah. Yeah, awesome.
So this is a sign-off. That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your host today has been me, Nancy Villegas.
Me, Tristan Cockerell from Sanhedrin High School.
And Oralee Clevaugh from the Mendocino County Youth Project.
Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our environmental prevention strategies and the community, also known as the EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substances abuse through a variety of strategies in Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089. Again, that's 707-984-8089. Or email Jama at jamashields@pacific.net.
And that's J-A-Y-M-A. SHIELDS at pacific.net. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162. Again, that's P.O. Box 1162, Willits, CA 95490. Or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net, where you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 5 weeks. That's June 5th. At 3 p.m. again in 5 weeks on June 5th at 3 p.m. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you in June.